drum roll, please. Love that. Absolutely, absolutely. Welcome to A Voice of a People. My name is Linda Sims, and this program is live here on WWGH 107.1 FM radio. We also stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. You can also download a free app called TuneIn on any electronic device. And once you have it downloaded, please search WWGH. You can call in while we're on the air from now until the top of the hour, 5 p.m., by calling 740-383-9944. Again, that number is 740-383-9944. Those who faithfully support A Voice of a People, starting with Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC, 1325 North Main Street, Marion, Ohio, 740-382-8552. Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson, 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio, 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. They will be having their free produce market this Saturday, April the 17th. It starts at 12 noon until 2 p.m. Please mark your calendars and share this information with those who you feel may have need of the free produce. Inspect Ohio LLC, your one-call home inspection company with 29 years of experience working for you. The owner, Cheryl Lee, location, LaRue, Ohio, 740-262-0939. I'd like to start my show off with a thought for today. This one is entitled, Enjoy Every Moment. Here we go. Enjoy every moment. And you think we would know to do that after all these years we may have been in the land of the living, right, Jeff?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember to enjoy every moment of each day? Every day is important and valuable. Realize that each passing moment is the most important moment. Life is made up of millions of moments. The quality moments are those when the soul is focused, alert, and in the present. Yet very few moments are lived in this way and enjoyed to the full. Consider each moment in your day as the most important moment to be lived and experienced to the full. Realize that when you are mindful of every present moment, you are able to express and experience the moment in pleasure and appreciation. So hopefully that was able to help someone today. I know it really helped me because every moment is precious. And you know, we only live moment by moment.
Yes, that's right.
You know, and we don't even think about those things, do we, Jeff? It's only moment by moment.
I think our mind deceives us in this world. Because, you know, this world's only temporary.
Right.
The next one's eternal.
Right.
And, you know, hell is not a good place to end up after leaving this world. You know, I hate to say that on such a nice day, but like a person that commits suicide, what they're not realizing that is once you commit suicide and you're killed, there's no coming back.
No.
There's no doing it over.
No.
I don't know what God's judgment is on suicide. He may or may not take that into account. I mean, doesn't really matter how you die, really. What matters is your name written in the book of life? You know, and Jesus said, narrow is the gate and straight is the way, and few there shall be that enter thereat.
Right.
And the reason there's so few is because we allow our mind, I guess you'd say, we allow our mind to deceive us into thinking we've got plenty of time.
Plenty of time.
That God is going to be merciful no matter what we did or thought, you know, but I think things are going to be a bit different when you get there, you know. It's appointed once in the man to die and then the judgment. Mm. That's Hebrews 9:27. So, people these days, I mean, they don't take the word of God seriously. You can tell by the way they act. Who cares, you know? the lesbian gay crowd and all that, and they get together with those people, reinforce each other, and all that sin gets piled up. And without a savior, what chance do you have on the day of judgment? Don't have any chance. That's why we say that Jesus is the only way, because only his atonement can wipe out your sins. You know, what you gonna, you know, join another cult group or something, but what you gonna do with the sin?
Right.
You have to get rid of the sin. God's not gonna let sin into heaven.
No, he's not. And that's a valid point you're talking about. But you're listening to Jeff Porter, my guest today. Mm-hmm. Author of Expressions of the Last Days, and many of you have heard him before, I'm sure. And the thought for today has really brought up a lot that Jeff is talking about now and expressing, enjoying every moment. Because mm-hmm. we only live moment by moment. Wow. Yeah, you're so right. But what about the liar and the murderer? What about all those people that sin is sin?
Well, there's Revelation 21:8 that covers that, but the fearful and the unbelieving.
Even that.
The abominable, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, murderers, and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire.
And you know what, Jeff? When you said the unbelievers, they have no idea that they are doomed.
They have no idea that their soul's in danger.
Right, is in danger.
You know?
Right.
It's just like I was talking to a friend of mine, and I said, you know, we're talking about Christianity being going into this great apostasy, which is the beginning of the one world church. Mm-hmm. The world, the unbelieving world out there, doesn't have the slightest idea of what's coming. And they don't have the slightest idea. You know, you could talk to them. I remember when I volunteered at the Red Cross for a little while, there was a guy that came in there, and he was talking about all the earthquakes and tidal waves and thunderstorms and unrest with the everything. And I said, what do you think is causing all this? You know, all the turmoil, especially in the weather and the earthquakes and volcanoes and stuff. He goes, I have no idea. I said, none? No, nada. So what about God, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I never did ask him that, but I have asked people that.
Right.
What do you think about, could God be doing this? Well, I thought God was all loving and caring and everything. Why would he do a thing like that? But then again, if you're about ready to walk off a cliff, why would a friend shout at you? You know? I don't know if that's a very good analogy, but maybe they honk their horn at you and say, you're going the wrong way, you're going to fall off the cliff.
Right, it's a warning.
Yeah.
It's a warning.
And it's just like the guy that walks up. I use this analogy a lot. If you walk up to the edge of a big river, and there's a guy standing there, and he says, I got to cross this river. I got to get on the other side. My family's over there, and there's just no bridges or anything. And you say to him, I know this river,
mm-hmm.
and it's full of alligators, it's
right.
full of piranha.
Right.
You'll never, never make it to the other side. They'll eat you alive, man. It's not a good way to die.
No, it's not.
And he says, well, he could say one of two things. He could say, I believe you, and forget that.
Heed to it, yeah.
Or he said, forget you, I'm right. going in there.
Unbelief.
And he gets eaten up by the alligators and piranhas.
Wow.
And so people say, you know, they've been taught this thing that God is this like eternal grandfather up there on a rocking chair, and he just excuses all sins. But that's not what the Word of God says. It says there was a man named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, who came to Jesus by night and said, Rabbi, know thou art a teacher from God, for no man could do these miracles, lest they be of God. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, unless a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, why? Because the born-again thing is, you're starting over with a new life.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, you have a heart change. Your heart has changed from focusing on this world and focusing on all your fleshly desires and all your anger and hate and love and all of that. If you ever heard that Pink Floyd album, that Dark Side of the Moon, where it's coming towards the end, it sounds like the Day of Judgment, all that you eat. Have you ever heard that? All that you, everyone you fight, you know, and all this stuff, and it goes on and on and on about everything you did in your life, you know. Right. And that's what will determine if you're unsaved, then all that stuff's going to be brought up. Mm-hmm. And it's going to say, what happened?
True.
You know, so true. I came to you here, 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 and you just brushed me off and dismissed me.
Just said no.
Yeah. And there's no other way to wipe out your sin. You know.
No, than to receive the finished works of the cross.
That's right.
That Jesus died for your sins.
1 Corinthians 1:18, for the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God.
And to salvation.
That's right.
So, amen.
And I thought that too when I was an atheist. You know, I was an atheist because I didn't see that Christianity really had any answers for anything. Mm-hmm. I didn't really understand that there was such a thing as sin, really. You know. But
maybe that's where a lot of people are. They don't understand,
it.
What sin is. What do you mean I've sinned? I haven't done anything wrong. I haven't hurt anybody. What do you mean sin?
That's what I thought. You know, I had a friend that he got saved. He had issues, but he did get saved. And he make up his own sermons and send them to me, you know. And he went to this kind of radical fringe church, you know. But he kept preaching all that stuff about sin, you know. It was a radical Baptist church is what it was. Boy, they really like to get down on that sin stuff. And, but, you know, somebody needs to. But and I used to think, well, when I'm standing before God or I go before God, I can tell him I wasn't a bank robber. I wasn't a woman abuser. I wasn't a drug dealer. You know, what's the matter with me? Why can't you let me in? You know, you could go to a person that's been a good person all their life. You know, they fed the poor and were nice to everybody and dogs and cats and, you know.
Right.
But that still don't cut it. You need the person of Jesus Christ in your heart to make it to heaven, to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You know, you can go to God and say, I asked for forgiveness. I mean, this is how difficult it is. I asked Jesus to come into my heart. I asked for forgiveness of my sins, and I want to be born again. What's so difficult about that? But me, I could see that God was like, I felt like he was like hovering over top of me when I was at McDonald's at the time. And my friend Mike was trying to talk me into believing in Christ. And I said, I don't need that stuff. It's for old ladies. You know, I have nothing better to do on Sundays. And he went up to get us some refills. But while he was there, God reminded me while he was up there that he had saved me from that car accident. Mm-hmm. And that his presence was known in that car. You know, when I had a real bad car accident. We went off the berm, shot straight across the road. The road hit a telephone pole and a sign and started flipping over sideways.
Wow.
And we came out of that accident. I had a little cut on my hand, on the top of my hand. And scared, shook up, you know, and had little cuts and bruises and stuff, but nothing really, really that bad.
Wow.
And so my friend also, but he had been drinking. We'd both been drinking.
Right.
But the lawyer, I don't know how he did it, but the lawyer got him off.
Wow.
I don't think they can maneuver like they did back then. But today, I mean, I don't think they can get away with that. Like back then, I think he plea bargained or something. But that aside, I felt the presence of Christ in that car quite a ways, maybe a couple of miles before we actually crashed. Mm. You know, and he just kind of leaned forward and said, everything's going to be all right. Well, see, I didn't get saved right away, but that stuck with me real strong. Right. You know. So, it was a series of events like that that got me saved.
I'm sure. That was quite about enough, right?
Yeah.
There, you know.
By the time, I was searching for truth, though. I was mixed up. I was a good target for somebody like Mike. He was heavy into the occult at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought the occult was cool because he talked about a thing called astral projection, which fascinated me. I wanted to come out of your body and go flying around in the universe. I always wanted to do space travel really bad.
Okay.
When at that age.
Out of body experience. You ever heard of people say they, when they go to sleep at night, they feel this?
Yes, that's exactly right. Want to come out of your body and fly around,
yeah.
You know. Not just to girls' locker rooms. But to other planets and galaxies and stuff, you know. And I think it was Yes, the musical.
Do you think that's real? That people actually do that one?
Yeah, you can do that because I did it once.
Did you?
Yeah, but it's not of God. He talked about it all the time, so I was always laying out. I was in the Army at the time. Mm-hmm. I first started trying to do that. And I would lay on my bunk and be real still. And try to project myself out of my body. You know, try to use your imagination and imagine yourself floating out of your body. Well, one day, and I was never able to do it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I kept talking to Mike about that. I said, you say it's so easy to project, and I've never been able to do it. You know, I'd been trying for like a year or something. And all of a sudden, one time when I was laying there trying to come out of my body, I started feeling really funny and I felt this buzzing, and there was like this, whatever it was, a tunnel or something that I could see, and I came up out of my body, and for real, man, and floated
up.
Don't
try that at home.
No, don't try this. It's
don't
occultic.
Tell your children about
it's
it.
It's occultic. And I floated up to the ceiling, and the barracks there was this, they had these lights up there, and I was up next to the light, and I was listening to people talking. The reason I know it's real is because I went through the lockers. I was wanting to go take off, but my body kept trying to pull me back. And there was this guy in the next cubicle writing a letter. I didn't see what he was writing. But all of a sudden, my body just drew me back in. And that was the only time I was able to do it for real, you know. And so I asked this guy later on, I said, were you sitting in your cubicle writing a letter just a little while ago? He goes, yeah, how'd you know that? Weren't you asleep? I said, well, I don't know. I just guessed, you know. I didn't tell him nothing.
Right.
So, yeah, you could really do, there's stuff that you could really do.
But it's not
in
of
the occult,
God.
But it's not of God.
Okay.
It's of Satan's power. But
right.
It's real.
Yeah. Yeah, he does have.
You
some
know,
power. Yes,
yeah.
He does. Yes.
Well, you just remember in Job.
Oh, yeah.
Where, you know, and that's where we, you know, people say, well, how much power does Satan have? Well, if you look in Job, God, you know, Satan goes to God one day and says, and God says, have you considered my
servant
Job?
He offered him to
Yeah,
him.
And
yes.
He said, yeah. Have you noticed how perfect and righteous and upright he is? Yeah, but that's because you keep a hedge around him.
Right.
You take that hedge out,
he'll curse you.
He'll curse you and die.
Yeah.
You know, God says, okay, I'll take some of that hedge away. We'll see what happens.
You just can't touch his life.
Yeah. And so, you know, all these terrible things happened to Job, but it tells, you know, that Satan was able to put sores on him. He was able to kill his family and all his cattle, and he was a rich man.
Yeah.
And he was able to cause big fires to happen. It burned down his property. So Satan can do some stuff,
oh, yeah.
Man. It caused tornadoes.
Oh, yeah. It caused
you know?
The god of this world, right?
Yeah. So, you know, there's one guy that said he was a creationist scientist, and he said he was looking for Noah's Ark up in the Turkish mountains, you know. And he said he knew when he got attacked by a thunderstorm up there, that was Satan. So Satan could probably generate a big thunderstorm. I wouldn't doubt that. If God allows
it. He has to have permission.
Yeah.
Because we have to understand, God is Satan's God.
Yeah.
He can only do what he allow him to do.
That's like Yul Brynner on the Ten Commandments. After he came back from the Red Sea parting and his whole army being destroyed, his wife says, "Did you get Moses? Did you cut him up? Let me see the blood on your sword." And Yul Brynner says, "His God is God."
He knew the difference.
Yeah.
His God is. I love that part.
Isn't that good?
Yeah, it is. But I did want to talk about the fearful. But the fearful.
The fearful and the unbelieving. Well,
is that people that just intimidate?
Cowards.
Cowards.
So we're talking about people who know that Jesus is the Savior and the Messiah and everything, but they're afraid of being criticized and persecuted.
Oh, that. In that sense.
They're okay. So afraid.
Wow.
You know, they want to keep their friends.
Yeah.
They don't want to give up anything that they have. Mm. So.
Wow.
You know, and God says that's not an excuse.
No.
Of course.
No.
You know.
No. Wow. That was a eye-opener, that scripture
the
you brought.
Cowardly.
Yes, the cowardly.
The whoremongers, wow. Sexually immoral.
Yeah, we know what that is. We should know what that is. And sorcerers can also, that includes induced drugs.
You could, you know, like in the teachings of Don Juan that I said I believed in for a while. He started the sorcerer. That's they call themselves a sorcerer, and they start off teaching you about alternate universes, by using drugs.
Yeah.
To get you,
yeah,
kind of doing the astral projection thing,
yeah,
you know.
It puts you in a different state of mind.
Yeah.
Yeah, so even witchcraft and all that, but also drug abuse.
I came across this book one time. This guy wrote a big, thick book about out-of-the-body experiences that he had. He just kept working on it until he got to the point where he could do it just about all the time if he wanted to. And one time, this really scared me about this one part of his story was he went way out somewhere and was observing something and got really carried away with that. And then he came back, and when he came back, he came in contact with a wall and he couldn't get back to his body.
Wow.
Now, I don't know. I forget how he did it, but he finally did, like, go over it or something, you know, but he kept going down the length of it, and he couldn't get around it,
mm-hmm.
couldn't get over it. He finally, and he prayed and asked God to help him make it back to his body, you know.
I bet he did.
Because I don't know if, I know your body would die if your spirit wasn't there. If you're gone long enough, your body would probably deteriorate, you know. So he got back to his body somehow. But he told some scary stories in there where he went to some other part of Earth and he found this guy that was kind of weak-minded, and so he possessed him and messed up his life.
Wow. You know? This is a, what, rated R?
Yeah.
Are we doing a rated R show today? Oh, my. Such
scary.
Things to talk about. Wow. What else did you come
on
your mind?
Well, the occult is very strange.
Yeah, it is.
But it shows that there is a spiritual realm.
Oh, yes. And we are in a spiritual battle.
Yes, we are.
In a spiritual battle. Yeah,
I was reminded of that the other night when I was sitting there listening to music on the computer. I have headphones. I listen to headphones a lot. I took them off. I could hear the two cats out there doing their mating thing,
mm-hmm,
you know.
Mm-hmm.
Going, you know, and all that stuff. And I thought, I got to get rid of these cats. I'll never sleep. It was like 3 o'clock in the morning, you know. And I got up and got my flashlight, went out there, and psst. No, but I knew Satan was doing that.
Mm-hmm.
He was doing that just to disturb me so I couldn't get any sleep that night. I wasn't going to let that happen.
Right.
I'm going out there with a flashlight, and I'm getting rid of these two stupid kitties.
Right.
You know, and out there, they wanted to defy me. They didn't want to run away. They were in the middle of their fun, you know.
Wow.
But they finally did run away.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Oh, this is mating season, you know.
It must be. You have God's...
For God's sake,
for God's
grow
sake,
up.
For God's sake, grow up. What's that about?
Well, we have a problem in the body of Christ. It's called immaturity.
okay.
And what happens is almost like, you know how an unbeliever, I was saying that they're cowardly a lot of times and they're afraid to get on the path because somebody might criticize them. But then again, we have Christians, people who get saved, and they don't go any further. They don't try to learn anything deeper of God. They don't try to walk down that path and try to find out more about God. And he's saying, for God's sake, grow up, people, because... And I can relate this to the places like, for instance, in Numbers, where the question is asked, why does God allow false prophets to infiltrate the land and infiltrate the church? Like Israel, they had lots of false prophets. Why? Because God was testing them to see if they really loved him. And they were willing to throw away the false and keep the true, even though the truth isn't always as pretty as the false. You know,
right.
The false can be very pretty. Like teaching Don Juan's, very... very colorful, very great. It had a great feeling to it, you know, like Hare Krishna or the Buddhists. The reason why they stick with it is because they get this rush from it, you know. Oh, wow, you know, I can see stars and solar systems going around, you know. And Mormons, you know, when I believed in Mormonism. I got that wow feeling from that.
Really?
You know?
So you really went through different types of religions to find Christ.
Yes, I did. And there was a couple of those were after I got saved.
You're still seeking.
Yeah.
Did you not believe you were saved?
Yeah, I believed I was saved. But I just didn't know anything.
What religion was true?
Yeah.
Okay.
I believe that the God of the Bible was true.
Right.
But I also believe the Book of Mormon because there's a couple places in there that I really like. There was this one place where one of the Mormon prophets of the old days, way back, you know, when it was talking about American Indians fighting each other and all this stuff, which was all false.
Right.
And one of the Mormon prophets, I think his name was Nephi, he said there'll come a time when human beings Christians will be saying, a Bible, a Bible. We have got a Bible and there cannot be any more Bible. And I thought that Christians believing that Christ was the only way and that the Bible is the only word of God was very, like they do these days, I thought it was very narrow-minded.
Mm-hmm.
I was way ahead of them. Nobody was saying that back then, hardly. But I was saying, the Mormons could be right. The Jehovah's Witnesses could be right. What's to make us so right about everything, you know? And so until later on, a friend of mine gave me a book called Who Really Wrote the Book of Mormon? That's how I got away from Mormonism is because I used to sit there and talk to him about Mormonism.
Mm-hmm.
And he was an apologetics person.
Okay.
And he kept trying to reach me and... Finally, one night, I had this vision that I was reading the Book of Mormon was there and another book called the Works of Flavius Josephus. You remember me talking about him?
I think so, yeah.
He's the only historian that goes back into the days when Rome reinvaded Israel. And tore down the temple because there had been so many wars, all the libraries had been burned up. Mm. And Flavius Josephus is the only thing that really survived historically. But I'm glad of that because Flavius Josephus is a very powerful, good historian.
Okay.
I don't know how they were able to, somebody preserved it.
Mm.
You know, I guess they shouldn't have put all their books in one library. I don't know, but.
Maybe so.
The Romans were fighting everybody, and
right.
They were burning down all the libraries just as part of the destruction, you know. I don't think they targeted the libraries. I think they were just part of the fire.
Could have been.
You know.
Could have been. Wow.
Because the Romans believed that, too. See, you got to look back. This is nothing new about people believing that there's more than one way to God. The Romans, see...
And I'm learning that and understanding that. There seems to be many ways to different
there
people.
There appears to be.
Yeah, appears to be.
The way they got irritated with Christians was they would once a year have this thing where they had everybody from every religion get up, and they had big long tables, and you would set something down that most represented your belief. Mm-hmm. And everybody would come and bow down to everybody else's belief system, including their own. And Christians came along and maybe set up a cross or something, and they said, I'm sorry, but I can't bow down to all these other gods. Mine is the only way. And they go, what? Who do you think you are? You're arrogant and everything. You know? So that's when they started throwing them to lions and stuff, you know? And that's what they're doing today, really. In America right now, they just criticize you big time. Or mm-hmm. do the cancel culture where they cancel you out and all this stuff, you know, and point their finger at you, their bony finger at you, and bring a lawsuit against you because you won't make a cake, a homosexual cake or something, you know. So we're facing the same thing. Now, people say, well, how can you believe John 14:6? In fact, there was a preacher that went with, I wish I could remember his name right now, but there was, Billy Graham had a guy that was his right hand.
Okay.
And he went around with him to all the preaching and everything. And then one day he said, Billy, I just cannot believe that Jesus is the only way. I'm sorry, but the doubts have taken me over.
Right, right.
And he quit.
Wow.
And I don't know what Billy Graham might have said to him. Now, I remember that time that I was at Marian Transit and I was being asked about that and the historical accuracy of the Bible. And I said, Lord, I've got all kinds of books and tapes about that. These people are not going to lift their little finger mm-hmm. to look into any of this.
Right.
I said, I need an answer that's quick, that's smart, and to the point.
Absolutely.
You know, it's irrefutable. Mm-hmm. And that was when he gave me that. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And let's turn around and take a look at the world out there. Crime, violence, all the terrible things that are going on.
All the things you mentioned at the top of the hour.
Yeah.
Be careful.
All the terrible things.
Unbelieving, you know, the abominable, whoremongers and liars.
Haters.
They're all going to have their part in the lake of fire if they do not repent.
That's right.
Before
there is a way out for
earth.
Them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I said, if sin is not the cause of that problem out there, what is? And nobody has an answer for that. There's no answer to it outside the Bible.
That's true. That's so true.
You know? I'd said that on the bus, and I had people looking at each other going, well, they don't have an answer for it. And I said, that's why Jesus said he's the only way, is because he's the only one that cleans up your sin.
But you know what, Jeff, when you think about it, people, we are born into sin, so mm-hmm. we really don't know any other type of life. And,
no.
you know, some people think this is just it right here.
Yeah.
You know, this is it. This is life. This is where we belong.
This is where it stops.
You know, whatever I do, it's okay. And if there is a God, he loves me. You know, they say he's a loving God. He'll forgive me. He knows I was born. Some people say, well, I was born this way. Why should
well,
I
yeah.
change?
You're born
know?
Into sin.
What did he mean, change? What's wrong with me? You know, and people are dealing with those type of questions. You know, what's wrong with me? I was born like this.
Well, good. That's what they need to do, is ask those questions.
Right, right.
Because that's what leads to Christ, is
right.
questioning.
And they're
asking.
Saying, am I not good enough? What did I do wrong? I just woke up this morning.
No, we're not good enough. We fall short of the glory of God. But.
And God decides what's good and what's bad.
Well, 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, he who knew no sin became sin, that we might have the righteousness of God in us.
Right, right.
Whoa.
That is powerful.
That's an incredible statement.
Yes,
what
an
incredible statement. We'd have the righteousness of God in
mm-hmm,
us,
mm-hmm.
which takes care of all of that sin.
Yes, it does. Yes,
so
it does.
That when you come before God on the day of judgment, all of that sin's wiped out. God won't even bring up those sins.
No, he'll just see the blood.
Yeah.
The blood of Jesus. When he see you, he'll see his blood.
That's why we rejoice. That's why we're Pentecostal. Mm. You know, and plus we get the outpouring of baptism of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2, which is badly needed in this world, you know, to give you the power to preach and witness.
Wow.
And to overcome.
Right. Powerful. Was there anything else on your mind you came with today?
I wasn't even going to talk about this stuff, but I did ask the Lord to show me what I was supposed to talk about today. And that was what I came up with, you know.
Well, you thought you did, but you know, there are many people going astray, still trying to find a way to God that God would receive or say, oh, okay, you're
You say you were a Jehovah's Witness.
I studied with them, yes, because
what
I was
What drew you in?
Too.
The missionaries coming around your door?
Yes. They drew me in, but he drew me out.
Okay, so how'd you get... Do you have, we have time, maybe...
Bible study and reading on my own, and... they were saying that, you know, how God was going to come back twice. He's going to come midair and take people away. I think that was
That's
it. And
the
then
rapture.
He's going to come back again after that and touch his feet on the Mount of Olives and all that. And then they said, we won't see him when he comes, you know. And I was reading Revelation, and he says, you know, you will be my people, and I will be your God. And I'm thinking... I went back to Revelation 1, and I thought, what was that I just read? And I went through Revelation 1, and it describes the revealing of Jesus Christ and what he will look like, his appearance.
This is the revelation of Jesus Christ.
This is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And I'm thinking, now, wait a minute. They told me something wrong. When I start referencing it, it took me back to Isaiah 9:6. You know, unto us the Son is given. A child is born, a son is given. His name will be called...
Emmanuel.
Emmanuel. Not just Emmanuel, but Everlasting Father, Prince of
Peace.
Oh,
yeah, gave
the
all those...
Mighty God. And when I saw that, I thought, hold up.
Wait a minute.
Who's the Mighty God? Then I went back to Revelation, and it was Jesus. It was Jesus. He's God himself. No, I can't explain all the way the Bible is written, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, but... He was letting me know, and I asked him, I said, Lord, the way the Bible was written, I'm kind of like confused. I can't connect the dots. And it was like he said, I am God.
Yeah.
What? Did you hear that? I woke my husband up. I just shook him really hard. And you know what? I felt the Spirit of God in that room.
Oh, wow.
It was so powerful. And I'm thinking, oh, my, Jesus is God. Like that, people say, Jesus ain't, that's what my husband said, Jesus ain't God. He got a father. I said, I don't know about all that. But he just told me
You
he
took the
was.
Word of God seriously.
I did. What else am I supposed to do with that?
Well, you know, I got into I mentioned that one of the drivers had written some kind of thing. She said she was a Christian, and she wrote a really good article that ended up in God Allows U-Turns, that little magazine. And that was a really good story. And I was sitting there talking to her. I said, man, when you told me that was in there and showed it to me, I thought I was going to have to lie to you and tell you it was good. But it was good.
Right, right.
And I met somewhere along the line in the conversation, I mentioned that Jesus is God. Oh, she just went berserk. Jesus is not God.
I know some people, you have that.
They just go berserk.
Yeah. Where did you get that from? Who told you that?
Yeah.
Who told me?
And I said, well, I can show you in the Bible. She goes, I don't care what the Bible says. I don't believe it. And I said, you don't believe the Word of God? How can you say you're a Christian? You know?
They don't believe that. They believe there is a God, but they don't believe that Jesus
God
himself
the Father. That's a,
is God.
That's a big problem the Muslims have.
Yes, it is.
Is the Trinity.
Yes, they refute it all the time. No, Jesus is not God. He was a man just like me. I heard a Muslim say that. Well, he was an Indian.
They say he was an imposter. The guy on the cross was an imposter.
Yeah, he was a man just like me. Oh, you think so? I don't think so.
What you going to do with the sin?
Right. Right.
Now, the Muslims say if you just believe in the Quran and believe in the Prophet Muhammad and try to follow the ways of the Muslim ways, then you're saved. And I said, you know, and then they had this day when they go around beating themselves with chains and stuff like that.
Yeah. I understand. That's
so it
true.
doesn't really fit.
No, it doesn't fit. And that's the only way things began to fit for me after I had that, what they call that, epiphany.
Yeah.
I had that revelation.
Contradiction.
Yeah. You know, then things began to make sense to me. Then it was like,
well,
it was a
revelation.
Well,
you look at all religions, you either got grace, which is the Bible, and all other religions are based on works. I'm sorry, but they are.
Yeah, they are.
And what I asked, you know, sometimes when Jehovah's Witnesses come around, I'll say, how do you know that you've done enough good works to tip the scale? Because they base it all on good works, as far as I can tell, you know. Because if you get rid of Christ, then you're left with nothing but good works.
But
what else could you base it on?
Good works. You can't go to heaven with the good works.
No. It's nice that you did good works, but I'm sorry.
Right.
You still got a sin problem.
Yeah. Can't get into heaven.
Yeah.
You know. And a lot, like you said, the other religions are like, you got to work. You got to work. You got to do something.
Oh, please.
To get there.
I'm too lazy for that. I am.
Oh, a good thing he already, you know, opened the door, huh? He opened the door for
yes.
everybody. The door is open. The door is open. All you have to do is walk through it.
The door's been open for 2,000 years.
Wow. Aren't you glad he made that sacrifice for you?
But see,
and me, and
when
all
I was
those.
An atheist, I thought all that stuff was just a bunch of religious nonsense, of course. You know, who needs it? Science has all the answers.
Yeah, I know a lot of people thought that too.
For a long time. I don't think people believe that so much anymore.
I still hear it, though. You still hear it every now and then.
Well, the government, good old Biden said that, you know, because the liberals believe
what
that.
What did he say?
We believe in science. When they were talking about the virus.
Well, God did give man
the ability.
The ability, wisdom, as far as how to make medicine.
But then you're worshiping the creation rather than the creator.
No, that has nothing to do with worshiping. I mean, we took immunization before we could even go to school. It was just something that was required
but
to keep disease
it?
Down.
Who gave them that ability?
God gave them
the
ability.
But they don't want to give him any credit.
Well, maybe not.
They don't.
But that's where they got it from.
Because then they'd be held responsible for their actions, and they don't want that.
Wow. Wow. We just keep going around that circle, right?
Yeah.
But that's all they got it, you know. Viruses. Did you get your COVID shot?
No.
Oh,
I never
you're not
did.
Getting one?
I don't know. I just keep putting it off. How
a
about
lot
you?
Of people are. No?
I was watching a BBC report, you know, British World News, mm-hmm. and they said some countries were really worried that the vaccine was causing blood clots. So I don't know.
I heard that today.
Yeah. Now, I haven't heard that so much in the United States, but in other countries.
And they've had a blood clot.
Yeah.
She was just in the hospital a couple of weeks ago. She was just talking about that today.
Yeah, but blood clots are pretty common, but I mean, you know. If we get a bunch of them, then I'll believe that the vaccine's causing it. I just have been too lazy to go over there and get it done, you know.
Well, they already assume or...
It's only good for like 3 months.
Yeah, a lot of people are not going to get it anyway, so... They
the virus
already
will die out.
That.
All viruses eventually die out.
Right.
So...
And everybody's not wearing their mask anymore. It's kind of like... Only if you go in the store now.
Yeah.
You see people with their masks
well,
on.
Oh, I went to visit Mom. My
Did
mom's
you? How's
in
she
a
doing?
Nursing home. Well, you know, she's slowly deteriorating, you know.
Is she?
She used to be able to walk with using a walker. Now she can't walk at all.
Oh, no.
But, you know, she was stuck in there, isolated. I wasn't allowed to visit her. And I used to come to the window with a dry board and talk to her. Yeah, but she can't really write on the dry board anymore. She just doesn't comprehend enough, you know. She doesn't erase it good enough.
Okay.
You know. But today I went in there. Now, what they did was before, when they allowed you to visit somebody, you'd come to the front door and you would sign in and they would give you a paper. They would test your temperature, you know, put that thing against your forehead. And then you get back in your car, and you go around to the back, and they had a room where you went in, you wore your mask and everything, and you did the six-foot thing. You could sit there and talk to them. Well, today, they let me walk through the nursing home into the recreation hall where she was sitting there, and she didn't even have her mask all the way on.
Wow.
So I was able to understand her a lot better, you know. But what I'm saying is I think they're starting to loosen up here a little bit. If they don't, our economy's going to crash if they don't start selling stuff again anyways, you know.
Guess what?
We out of time already?
We're out of time. Yes, thank you, Jeff, for coming. Thank you for listening to A Voice of a People with Linda Sims here on WWGH 107.1 FM Radio. And please don't forget the Singles Conference this Saturday at TGP.
What time?
9 a.m. to 4 p.m.
TGP, what's that?
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, Marion, Ohio, The Talking Place. For legendary comedian and the voice of Ursula in The Little Mermaid, Pat Carroll.
And as I teased before we went to the break there, we have on today a lady who I've had on the program, I believe, two times before. But every time she comes on, I am excited. She's one of the most kind is the word I think of when I think of this woman, people that I have ever talked to, and I can tell you, I won't name names, but there are people who have been in Hollywood and had a great career who are not as kind as you might think they are. This woman exceeds the kindness that you might think she would be. She has the greatest laugh in the world, and she was the voice of one of the greatest villains in Disney history, Ursula from The Little Mermaid. And along the way, she did a lot of great game shows and television series and worked with people like Jimmy Durante, Gloria Swanson, Danny Thomas, Sid Caesar. The list goes on and on. She is amazing, the amazing Pat Carroll. Pat, how are you?
I'm wonderful, Scott. Now I'm going to have to be a because you said so much about me nice. But I'll tell you, Scott, it's one of the easiest things in the world. And I wish with all the things we have going on about doing this and doing that, if we were all just more kind to each other. Think of yourself in relationship to other people. And they go through the same things you do. And just be kind. It's so easy, it's so simple, and I've seen rooms change because somebody was kind. And that's a great impact.
Pat, as we end this interview, and I always hate to say goodbye, but you say you love to sing. I love your voice. Can you give us a little line of something as we part ways here?
Of what, a song?
Any song you like.
Did you ever go into an Irishman shanty where whiskey is whist? And the boozeberry is plenty. The table is set with a door and a hatch in the door. The house is shut with a latch.
Pat Carroll, I adore you. Please come back
in. I adore you back, Scott. I've had a lot of fun. Thank you for having me on.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM, Marion, Ohio, the place to talk. Streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com. Find us on Facebook by searching WWGH Marion, Ohio, 107.1 FM, and clicking like for exclusive content. Programming on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM is supported by CRT Mechanicals. Address 2842 Marion Waldo Road. Telephone number 740-225-4495. Webpage crtmechanicals.com.
Hey everybody, it's Pastor Steve Whitaker from the Pastor Spot. We are on every Tuesday at 5:15 and replay again on Wednesday at 3:15. We take pertinent issues of the day going on and look at them in a biblical perspective. So we'd love to have you listen and just, you know, call in, just get a conversation going and have a great time on the show.
Pastor Steve Whitaker is the pastor at Community Christian Fellowship in Prospect, Ohio. Address 209 East Water Street. The Marion Towers Apartments are a supporter of WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Address 400 Delaware Avenue. Phone number 9050.